Happy Friday. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Brightlow and being joined by State Representative Francesca Hung. We'll talk a bit about current events in the news, but also her perfectly themed Friday tweets that she puts out. But I have to admit, it puts us both in a real bind. We can't really say much on the radio about what it is fully. And I have to admit that, you know, part of my the whole reason I'm what's the right word? Fangirl is no longer a term that's in vogue. But this woman will drop F-bombs on a dime, but only for people who deserve it. And God bless her for doing it. Fran, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat.
By the
way,
it's
good to be back.
I don't have the dump button here, Luke, so that's totally you. And I'm afraid it's going to be me just as much as you that talks about this. Let's get to the point. It's called WTF Friday, and it's, you know, we don't want to dwell in bad news necessarily, but I think it's great that somebody each week kind of collects an assortment of stories that make you use those three little letters when you wonder sometimes what kind of a world we're living in. Was there a particular story or something that was the genesis for WTF Friday?
I wish there was one particular story that was absurd enough to really, you know, that this could be born out of, but our campaign team really was just trying to figure out more ways to engage and really make our megaphone larger. And we knew that we didn't want to be sending out, you know, donation requests and things in all of our asks. And so how do we make sure people feel like they're informed and really a part of something and to make the decision for themselves to really have the receipts to be able to take back to folks, this is what's really going on.
Well, it's that you said team. I mean, teamwork is really a part of it here. You've been around the Capitol long enough now, because you only have to be there 5 minutes to figure this out, that there are plenty of people who are there for themselves. And, that you know, it's I, me, my. And I love the mentality of, I don't love it, but of some people who are just like, oh, I'm in the toughest district and I'm this and I'm that. And you know, you all have to help me. And then there's folks like you that say, this is a team, who can we help? And part of this is, like you said, it's not the usual fundraising. It's something that brings people together, feels like you're on a team. And by the way, since we're all here on this team, why don't you help out some of the other people here on the team?
Yeah, and I will say that it's important to recognize that I have some massive progressive privilege being in the Blue District in Madison. And so I want to be able to provide, you know, whether it's messaging or say certain things that some of my colleagues have difficulty saying in their districts, that they know that they have a person on their team who can also point to the absurdities and the fascism that is the Republican Party right now. So you're absolutely right. We're not going to get through what I think is a progressive movement, and we're not going to build on this unless we work as a team and understand that this is a collective effort.
And this is where I'm sure people who know me are going to try to read into the tea leaves, but I'm not going to go any further than this. What Fran just told you is what you're supposed to do if you are in what's called a safe district, Democrat or Republican. If you're safe, part of your role is to help the rest of the team, because it does you no good if, yeah, you get elected in a safe district, but you're always in the minority because you're not going into some of these other areas and helping out. And frankly, one of my biggest frustrations was some people from safe districts who didn't lift a finger, did nothing, did the bare minimum, talked about, you know, how busy they were when basically they were just there, you know, collecting a paycheck going home. They didn't care if they were in the minority or the majority. It just didn't matter. And you'd look at those campaign finance reports every so often and find out that while some of us were, you know, working our hardest, they'd raised, you know, $200, you know, for a reporting period. It was just absolutely maddening. And I'm just so thankful that you decided not to play that game, that you've got your eye on a bigger picture, that you're part of the Wisconsin legislature, and the Wisconsin legislature is only going to be functional when there's more people with your values in it.
And our caucus shares really strong progressive values. And I think it's important to recognize that there are definitely more folks stepping up. We're headed over to Milwaukee to help Lou Anne Bird in the 84th. And that is a critical seat to obtain because there is no incumbent. And we've got a big group of Democratic caucus members from safe seats and their amazing staff coming out to help knock doors. And the good part about, I think one of the better parts of going out to different districts is you really do have conversations with people that you would have never expected. You know, I was up in Polk County last week, and it was fascinating to go from "Don't take away my semi-automatic rifles" to "Thank you so much for being a Democrat." I mean, we cannot make assumptions about the potential of every voter in this state. And I think if we humanize government a little bit more, make it accessible, make it approachable. And I think WTF Friday does just that. There are a lot of people who are thinking WTF, but if you have someone with a platform actually saying it, now we can have more conversations about what we can all do together.
Yeah, there is that commonality because, as we've said, there are plenty of people who are either centrist or lean Republican, but who still look at some of these headlines and they think the exact same thing, that this is not something they want. Now, again, you've done this enough times that there are numerous examples, so I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you know, in terms of some of the individual headlines that you put in as part of that string, are there a couple that stand out for you?
I think, really, we don't have enough folks amplifying the Inflation Reduction Act. And I wish more candidates across the state centered climate, especially around central and northern Wisconsin, where clean water is a top issue. And so when I see the fact that we're not doing enough to protect the EPA, and from the national level down, we're not really centering the need to deeply challenge the way that we're attacking the climate crisis, and for the president to come out and actually have something that's making historic steps forward, we should all be on board with that. And then there are ways to localize it in your district. Like I said, when it comes to PFAS or other contaminants in water, that is a universal issue. There's no D or R next to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at just last week's thread, for example, and one of those headlines was about a Republican group in Alabama that apologized after saying that they accidentally used a picture of the GOP elephant that also contained imagery from the Ku Klux Klan, which you'd like to say you can't make this stuff up, but it's real. It was there. There was an apology. And again, it would have just kind of not been as noticed as much if a state representative in Wisconsin hadn't amplified that kind of thing to say, look, this isn't theoretical. These things are really happening.
We cannot stray away from social issues and the fact that you need to call racism for what it is and racists for who they are. And if you look at what happened with the Dobbs decision, we know that social issues are actually front and center of a lot of voters' minds. It's not just the kitchen table, economic, you know, pocketbook issues that people care about right now. They feel deep personal connections to social issues. So if we don't call out and really amplify the fact that there are absurd things happening across this country that are dangerous for our party and for your family, it's doing a disservice to our voters. And so I really do want the caucus and other members of a party to think about centering social justice issues as a winning issue and not just the pocketbook.
Can you talk as well as somebody who's from a metropolitan area, again, about that importance of going to other districts and understanding some of the other districts, not just from your standpoint, from an elected official standpoint, but this whole notion of there's always this natural tension. And I'll just use the Wisconsin Democratic Party as an example, but you could use either party, either state. In this case, it's, do you focus more of your resources on your heavily Democratic areas and try to squeeze a few more votes out of Madison and Milwaukee and Eau Claire because those voters are easier to find, to squeeze a few more out, versus it might take you a little more time, might take you a little more resources, but there are Democratic voters scattered throughout, you know, like you said, Polk County and Barron County and Sawyer County, and don't write them off, go get them. And I've noticed that's a natural tension. I don't think that there isn't a right answer. It's always about finding balance, but what's your own spin on where a party should be really focusing its resources?
Get out of thinking in either or. Mm-hmm. We can absolutely put resources into finding trusted ambassadors in rural and other districts that aren't heavily Democratic and ensure that there are trusted members of the community with the tools that they need to go out and organize other members. And then in heavily blue districts, there has to be a focus on turnout and a focus on engaging and really encouraging young voters because they are savvy. They have digital tools to be able to really mobilize. And so in instead of thinking about, okay, do we need to just prioritize one area or the other? Let's think strategically and very smart about how to make effective ambassadors everywhere. Because in the end, it's about making voters feel like they matter and that they are special. And the people who know how to do that best are the people in those communities. So give them the tools to be able to mobilize. So I think right now, I would say Milwaukee, Madison, Dana, Milwaukee counties, it's important to focus on turnout and young voters. And in those other rural areas, make sure the organizers feel valued, get credited, and have the ambassador tools that they need to go out and mobilize their communities the way they need to.
I am really hopeful that we see less of those incidents in the past where a group will come and do what's probably the fourth or fifth lit drop within the city limits someplace. There's voters in the town of, you know, X, Y, or Z just on the other side of the street, but the only walk lists, you know, that they print out for people to go visit voters, they said, no, we just have to focus here. It's where the cluster of voters are. And, you know, if we can do less of that, all the better. State Representative Francesca Hong is with us. And I want to come to your point that you just said about young people and young voters. We've talked post-Dobbs decision about women and how many more women are registering to vote than men right now. Do you share my sentiment that young voters are actually going to turn out more than ever, not just because they've now seen through their entire young lifetime total inaction on gun violence, but now they're seeing complete hostility toward the safeguards that were meant to keep their teachers and others safe? Or am I reading too much into it and young voters are just going to, you know, be as distant as young voters typically have been?
I think we're going to see young voters come out, and we're also going to see young voters starting to run for office more. Take, for example, the gentleman from Florida who will be our first Gen Z representative in the House. I think that young people not only feel a sense of purpose to protect their generation, but just like you mentioned, protect the people that have been trying to care for them. The people who are going to meet movement moments are young organizers who know how to make sure that a community feels protected and safe, because they know that that's a value that is universal. And I think that's how they're also going to connect with other generations, is that we all want safety, we all want opportunities, and we all know that it doesn't have to be like this, but we have to keep telling each other that and not just listen to the politicians.
It does. I have before, and I will again offer a stinging indictment of, for whatever reason, my generation, you know, those of us in our mid to late 50s who have just, we've turned the cynicism on too high. There are people older than us that vote more and are more involved. And now it's so refreshing to see that there are people younger than us that vote more and get more involved. How my generation gave us Scott Walker and Paul Ryan and Sean Duffy and all that, I never know. I'll never know. I offer this blanket apology, Fran, to you and everybody else younger who's stepping up for this. State Representative Francesca Hong is with us. We're going to take a break, talk a bit more on the other side of this. You're up north.